Emily Liddow.
And I'm Kyle Cacciadorian.
And you're listening to another episode of The Accessible Stall.
What are we going to talk about today, Emily?
We're going to talk about mobility.
What?
You know, like how you move around this world.
I don't know what you're talking about. Please explain it further.
I think you do. You're speaking difficult.
Yes.
Okay, so we are going to talk about the various ways that disabled and non-disabled people navigate the world, and that is by foot, that is in wheelchairs, in scooters.
Oh, I wouldn't make this list. You're bound to forget someone.
Wheelchairs. I mean, well, no, I think making a list is almost going to prove a point that I wanted to make pretty early on, which is that there is no one right way to get around the world. There's just not.
That's true. That's true.
I mean, there are people who navigate the world by using their hands, by literally walking on their hands because they don't have lower limbs, or people who scoot around. I mean, the list is just endless. And so I think we need to get out of the way right away that there is a right or a wrong way to move.
Yeah, there's not.
And the reason that we wanted to talk about this particular issue is because Kyle and I were talking about it before we started recording and realized it would make a pretty good podcast episode, the ways in which there is sort of a hierarchy of mobility.
Right, or at least perceived.
Perceived hierarchy. But I would argue that there is a hierarchy insofar as how the world treats you.
Well, yeah. I mean, it's pretty objective that since most people walk, that if you walk, then you'll have the least amount of accessibility issues in terms of the physical world.
Yeah, but then it kind of comes down to this superiority complex that I think some people who walk have. And I know I'm probably going to get myself in trouble for saying that, but I really believe that there is a certain contingency that believes that walking is the only way to go. And a lot of times it ends up being parents who have it drilled into their head by doctors and things like that, that their child must walk.
I was one of those.
So tell me about this, because I was also one of those, and I sort of veered off the course.
Well, I like walking. Let me just start by saying that. I don't think there's anything wrong with not walking, but as it's what I've grown up with, I tend to prefer it because that's what I know best. But yeah, I was one of those kids. I was born 3 months premature in my CP. And my parents, I remember they always used to tell me that all they cared about was that I was alive and that I had all of my mental capacity as much as a baby could have at the time. Like, there was nothing wrong up there. That's all they cared about. They didn't care about how I moved or didn't move. But
I feel like there's issues with that in and of itself. But
they were young parents. They were my age. They were our age when they had me. Like, you know, in a world where this was before the ADA, like
in a world. Kyle does it so much better.
In a world where there's no ADA, one disabled person's search for parking turns into something entirely off topic. OK.
This is why I cannot drink water while we're talking.
No, but seriously. So, you know, I'm not saying that that's a right way to think. I'm just saying if you add context, it sort of makes a lot more sense. But anyway, as I grew up, I didn't walk at the age that you're supposed to, which I don't know what it is, because for me, it's like later. I think it's like around 18 months or two. But I started walking when I was like 5. And that was after my first surgery, without which I either wouldn't be able to walk or walk a lot worse, air quotes, than I do now. But my parents always pushed the idea of walking on me because, you know, they didn't know anything about disability. So they were like, oh, you know, my kid's not different. And I sort of admire them for that. But as an adult now, I can like look back on it and see like, oh, yes, of course, their intentions were great. But, you know, whether or not they were right in thinking that is, I mean, it's no longer relevant because I'm an adult now who does walk, but it's sort of this interesting thought experiment today where how different would my life be if I were a chair user? I would like to believe it wouldn't be that much different, except I'd be complaining about accessibility as much as your average wheelchair user does, rightfully so. But I remember, like, my dad used to teach me how to walk. Like, I used to walk on his feet. And even after surgery, like, my parents would force me to walk with, like, these giant, like, waist-high casts on my legs. It was, like, I look like Frankenstein's monster, like, for real. It was pretty funny. And so I never, but also at the time, like, I would always, like, I've said this before, like, I went to school for people with disabilities. So at no point did I think that walking was better than a wheelchair. I just thought that it was best for me. I never saw wheelchairs less than. I grew up never seeing wheelchairs as less than. And so when parents push walking on their kids, what I think they're afraid of are wheelchairs. And I think my parents were, but I sure wasn't. And I chose walking anyway. Although, slightly off topic, I did, when I was applying for college, I used my, like, walking as, like, this huge feat that I did in order to get the admissions office to feel bad for me and let me in, and it totally worked everywhere I applied. It was amazing. I swear. Yeah, no. Okay, sorry, I've been talking for a long time and you have words to say, but long story short, like, I, for my personal essay, I would, like, write how, like, walking was my first personal achievement because I was born this way, and, you know, this is the worst, like, inspo pornography thing ever, and it worked because, you know, I need to get into college and you use every thing you got, and I got that. So
I mean, I totally used my disability for my college essay.
There you go. So you understand
at all the point of what we're talking about. Yeah, but I talked about this transition from being in a world where there were no disabled people to going to summer camp where there were a ton of disabled people, and suddenly realizing that I needed to flap the old wings and become independent. And so I did some pre-college leadership forum thing, and then, you know, whatever. Like,
oh no, I made my disability, like, the entire point. It was so bad. It worked though.
I don't even know if I could find my old college essay, but that's neither here nor there.
Yeah.
So back to mobility and how we move around this fine world over here. For me, I definitely had walking shoved down my throat, not by my parents, but by medical professionals who gave me the impression that sitting down was bad and that I needed to walk, even though it was uncomfortable for me, even though it was unwieldy for me. When I do walk, which I still can do, but I do so rarely, it's maybe 5 times a year, if that now, I wear full-length braces on my legs, and they're these heavy metal plastic Velcro affairs, and I have to use a walker, and I have to push on my upper body to hold myself up, and my butt sticks out, and I kind of feel like I'm waddling, and the whole thing is just not a good look for me. So, and also it's, like, really uncomfortable, and if I fall over, I have to lock both of my leg braces so that my knees stay supported. So I basically fall like a tree. So I could literally kill myself from walking. So I just don't anymore, unless it's for physical therapy. Every once in a while, my physical therapist convinces me to put my leg braces on. But I transitioned to using a wheelchair gradually throughout the course of my life. It started in third grade. I got my first wheelchair. And I think that was really hard for my mom, actually, because she walked her whole life. So she was like, no, but it's a sign of my failure as a parent if I let my kids sit down, you know. So, but I also think that was just some bull crud that she was being fed by
parents the man. Think weird things for their kids, you know. I don't know. I'm not a parent, but I imagine that, like, it would affect your rational thought when it's your kid. Who knows? I don't know.
I think that people have this idea that using a wheelchair is giving up.
I mean, maybe. I've heard of that. I've never seen it, but I've heard it enough to, like, it would be stupid for me to deny it. I don't know what my parents' impetus was to, like, force me to walk. I mean, I feel like it was the better choice because the world isn't accessible or as accessible as it could be, rather. And so insofar as that, I completely understand. And it's because of that that I try very hard not to lose it, you know, because I don't want to lose it. I don't have any shame in using a wheelchair. I will use them if the distances are too long, like I did in Disney World last year. So like, you know, I have nothing, like, it's not a pride thing. It's not like I don't want it, but, you know, I just want to keep this as often as I can, because as often as I'm able to, because I know that the world isn't built for people who use wheelchairs. Now, that's nobody's fault. That's no one person's fault, but
no, it's kind of everyone's fault, which thereby makes it nobody's fault.
So that's still nobody. But that's what I was, you know, no one raindrop feels responsible for the flood. But what I think is when people don't build accessible spaces, like, they don't realize that one day they're going to get old and might need a wheelchair. Or, you know, they might have a kid who needs one, or they might marry someone who needs one. Like, it's very short-sighted not to do that, no matter what reason you have for not doing it.
That is such a good point, because I don't expect, you know, people's houses to be accessible or things like that. But also, I wonder, what are they going to do if something does happen? You know, then they scramble to make their house accessible, which is why I think accessibility should be more of a focus and, you know, universal design insofar as designing a space that people with mobility equipment can get into. And people don't have that kind of forethought ever.
I mean, you know, you could say it's a money thing, but is it really? It's money that, yeah, it costs money. But like, if you're buying a house or renovating one, it's not money that you don't have. It's just money that you want to spend on like a nicer kitchen countertop or something, instead of, oh, we're going to be 80 someday, hopefully, and we might not be able to move as well, so therefore we should install like ramps everywhere.
Well, and speaking of monetary concerns, I mean, the other concern with, you know, using a wheelchair is how expensive it is.
Oh, absolutely.
And yeah, insurance concerns and the battles for durable medical equipment. I mean, there's a lot to be said for not having to use a wheelchair.
It's expensive to be disabled. It's really expensive to be a disabled wheelchair user in this country. I should say this is America, so it might be different in other places with socialized medicine. I kind of feel like
that's everywhere, because there's still this market monopoly on wheelchair technology use, where it's not in high enough demand that they can make it cheap. But it,
that doesn't make it right.
Yeah,
case in point, the EpiPen debacle going on.
Yeah, and, you know, so Mylan can make generic EpiPens for half the price. There's no such thing as a generic wheelchair.
Half the price, it's $30 versus what they're selling it for.
That's, I haven't really been keeping up with the EpiPen controversy.
No, but I mean, you know, that's a whole philosophical thing, right? When does healthcare become a human right? I think the answer is always, and you feel free to disagree with me if you want. I'm not talking to you. I'm talking to this listener here that I'm imagining. But I personally believe that, at least for mobility, like, that is the most basic thing. If you were to pick one thing that isn't language that separates us from our, you know, ape cousins, it's like our literal bipedalism. I'm serious. It's our ability to walk, and some people can't, and we know that. So how come we think it's okay to deny a person to do the thing that they can't do in a way that they can do? Like, seriously, I don't understand. Like, the way I get around is with my legs. You don't use your legs. You use a chair that has a motor on it. It's the same. It's analogous to it being your legs. So without it, you can't move. Like, I don't understand. I get things cost money, and I get things are expensive, and I get, like, yes, low demand, like, not enough demand, and they can charge whatever they want because people who need them need them. But you're denying someone the right to move. Like, what if you couldn't move? What if you couldn't move?
I have, like, so many points I want to make about this. It's funny because I think the major point that I want to make is obviously, I take issue with the fact that, like, insurance companies are so quick to treat wheelchairs like this unnecessary piece of equipment.
This burden, this, like, oh, yeah, you need one of those here. You take this piece of crap with, like, with two rusty wheels and no cushion. What do you need a cushion for? But
the other thing that I want to touch on that you brought up is that a wheelchair is a person's legs, because it is my legs. And I just wish that people would wrap their heads around that. I must complain about this all the time, but I'm going to do it again. I cannot stand the term.
That's true.
What?
That's true. You cannot stand. I'm sorry. I made it really easy.
You should really insert the simple noise there.
Oh, you know I'm gonna.
So I get really frustrated when I hear bound to a wheelchair, confined to your wheelchair.
Oh boy, here we go.
Because I am none of those things. I'm bound by the inaccessibility of the world around me. But I love having people who are like, oh, yeah, I totally get it. Like, your wheelchair is your way of getting around. It's so rare that people actually acknowledge the fact that my wheelchair is essentially a set of legs for me. And
I find that. I'm sorry. Go on. I didn't mean to interrupt you. My mind's exploding.
I don't know. I was like going off on a tangent there. Long story short is I don't like it when people treat wheelchairs like this horrible thing, when in fact it is quite literally my source of freedom.
Let's talk about why that might be. Now, I have no idea, and I don't think you do either, because you've used one for the better half of your life. But I that's something that I often wonder, because I think of what a world would be like if everything except the perception of wheelchairs or disability as a whole were just a little bit different. Right? Because right now, a disability to an able-bodied person is something that they don't want. Okay, fair enough. I'll give that one to you. I don't agree, because my life is okay and your life is okay, and if you're born with them, it's not a death sentence. But I'll give you that. It's a scary thought, sure. But you're disabled now. Now you're disabled. What you gonna do, homeboy? How you gonna get around? Okay, so now you don't want to use a wheelchair. Fine.
It's because the wheelchair is the symbol of disability, both figuratively and literally.
You know, so, I don't like that at all.
Okay, but I'm not even talking about, like, the little handicap access symbol or accessible icon. I'm talking about is that wheelchair is the most easily recognizable synonymous thing with disability. And okay. So it's, like, frightening for people rather than something that people would see as a source of freedom. And I understand that.
Yeah, I know. I understand that.
I think what's necessary is a perception change. And that's, we're never going to get that. But
I don't know about never, man. I really don't. I mean, I'd like, maybe that's optimistic. I don't know.
I just don't think that people will ever be able to separate wheelchair from this notion of suffering. I don't think that able-bodied people who are not intimately acquainted with disability will ever be able to see beyond that. I think that for people who have very little knowledge of disability, any form of mobility equipment is inextricably linked with a source of suffering and misery.
Why do you think that is? I think that's an interesting question and an interesting point you made.
Because it's so medicalized is probably only one aspect of it, but I think that's a big aspect of it. So you think of wheelchairs as the thing that gets people around a hospital when they're not well. You think of crutches as something that a person uses because they're literally broken. They broke themselves. Their bone needs to heal. So they're using the crutches. So to most people, it's a symbol of injury or illness and not a symbol of something that is really life-sustaining. It's right. Like this temporary inconvenience to people rather than something that is an actual necessary part of everyday life. So for most people, it holds you back. A wheelchair would hold you back. But for me, a wheelchair literally propels me forward.
I understand that, though. I can understand that point of view. I can understand that a typical able-bodied person is probably massively inconvenienced when they break their leg and have to use a wheelchair for a week and then crutches for another six. Like, I get that, because your life is different in those 7 weeks or however long it takes to heal a broken leg. I don't know. I've never broken my leg. But.
And speaking of, oh my goodness, don't tell me that you know what my life is like, because
do people actually do that? I have to ask you, because I that's absurd to me. That's actually absurd.
Like, people do this all the time. They're like, I broke my leg once in seventh grade and I had to use a wheelchair all summer and it was terrible. And I didn't get invited to any of the birthday parties because I couldn't go swimming in the pool because I had a cast on my leg. So I know exactly what your entire 25 years of life must be like.
So here's the thing about that. If you're 12 and that happens to you and you think your life is horrible for those 3 months, I get you. You're 12. Everything is horrible.
I don't know.
And those 3 months are extra horrible.
I should not have picked
but
formative years.
Whatever. Don't. Say you're 25 and you do that. Those 3 months of your life are horrible. I get it. They are. Just like you said, for most people, a wheelchair and such would hold you back. Like, I get it. Yeah, your life is bad for those 3 months because your life's different now. But then you're better. and now it's years into the future. And you look back on that and you don't think ever that it could have been because your life was inconvenienced and not because of the media that you now needed to move by. It's not because you broke your leg. No, no, no. Breaking your leg is something everyone does. It's because you had to use a wheelchair. Like, is that sounds absurd to me, but
no,
judging
I
by what you're
it
saying, it's
how a person perceives things.
No, I agree with you, but I'm sitting here like that's nuts. I agree with you that it certainly would, but I would sooner suggest, I mean, I'm just thinking for myself, but wouldn't the unfortunate event be that you broke your leg and not that you had to use a wheelchair because you broke your leg?
Yeah, but that's not how people think. And then the other thing, too, is people like to do simulation events a lot, which I hate.
Oh, my God.
So much. If you were going to try to use a wheelchair for a day and tell me that you get my life, oh, my God, go take a long walk.
Off a short cliff.
Like, oh, my God.
No, the thing with those, I'm conflicted because I really do understand. I hate them. I'm not conflicted with my feelings about them, but
I think they're well-intentioned and sometimes more often than not poorly executed and usually end up with the result not being, gee, I get what it's like to be a wheelchair user.
No,
life sucks.
Yeah, because to them it does. It's different.
So different is always bad.
Yeah. No, I actually would. If you could, if they invented a Larson syndrome exoskeleton thing tomorrow that enabled you to walk more or better than your walker does, and you tried it for a day and not for the minimally required 3 months to get your bone articulation correct, like most people do with their wheelchairs, like they roll around for a couple hours and they don't learn things like how to back into restroom stalls or any of that cool stuff. If you did the absolute bare minimum to try something, you'd be like, oh, yeah, I prefer my wheelchair. And you might end up preferring that anyway, no matter how long you use this metaphorical, mythical exoskeleton. But my point is, if you don't give yourself enough time to learn something, of course you're going to think it's worse than the thing you're used to, no matter what it is.
I think that simulations point to the fact that the world is not designed for people who use mobility equipment.
And that's why I like them, and that's where it stops.
But the problem is, A, I really don't feel like that's doing enough. I feel like that's the tip of the iceberg. And B, the lack of access seems to directly translate to feelings of pity. So if someone is going to do a simulation and they're going to encounter a lack of curb cuts or something like that, or a doorway that's too narrow or a bathroom that they can't get into, I don't want you to come out of that simulation feeling sorry for me. I want you to come out of that simulation being like, this is bullshit and we're gonna fix it.
Yeah.
And then I want you to actually fix it.
No, I mean, I'll even give them less than that. If you even feel that this is bullshit, Because most people don't even get that far.
But I want you to feel bullshit without also pitying me.
Absolutely. Pity you're right.
Nothing.
Yeah, I want to just say point blank that I think you're right. I feel like most people would can see that I was implying that. But just so that there's no ambiguity whatsoever, I agree with you. simulations are
I hate them so much. I hate them.
How do you really feel?
They're great. Oh my god, they literally just make me want to bash my head against a wall, is how I feel about simulations. But anyway, now that we know that I'm very impassioned about this particular stance, back to a slightly gentler topic, which is, you know, don't be afraid of mobility equipment. I think that society has painted it as something to fear. And I really just wish that people would understand that it's not a big, scary thing. I mean, even to the point where when I'm moving through a space, people visibly back away from me. And I don't think that they think that they're going to catch the wheelchair cooties. What I think is that wheelchairs are just these big old scary things to them.
I disagree. I think that they think that you don't know what you're doing.
Oh, well, no, that's not even a matter of disagreement. That's just a whole other issue entirely, because I also think that's true.
which is even more absurd to me. On an entirely different plane of thinking.
My very favorite thing is when other people tell me how to drive, or they compliment me on my wheelchair driving. Hey, man, I've been doing this a long time. Be quiet.
It's, you know what the best part is? If you look at the twinkle in their eye when they say that to you, they really think that they're the first person to tell you that.
Oh my god, everyone's like, I'm so clever and original. I'm going to make a joke about your wheelchair and how good you are at driving, or tell you that you need a license for that thing. Okay, take a number. I've heard it before.
Oh my god.
Wow, I am sassy this episode, and imagine I'm not even sorry.
Imagine if you did need a license for that thing. Oof.
I kind of feel like licenses would be going way too far, but when you get a power wheelchair, I would say for the most part, it's kind of like dropped at your doorstep. You have a couple of fittings and then you're just supposed to figure it out.
Having used one for maybe a day cumulatively across my whole life. They expect too much.
I don't think that driving lessons would be altogether a bad idea.
It would
add another layer of complication to the process of getting a wheelchair.
Well, yeah, but I mean, I agree with you. I'd rather not have them and have everyone have access to them. But, you know, learn how to use it. Same way you learn how to use anything.
I adjusted relatively quickly. I don't quite know why that is, but to me, my power chair was very intuitive. You know, it's to the point where the movement in my hand to operate the joystick is often so slight that, except for the fact that the wheelchair is moving, you wouldn't even know that I'm doing anything. Because I know the sensitivities of my power chair. You know, it really is an extension of my body in the same way that, you know, if you put pressure on a certain area of your body, it might feel a certain way. For me, I know if I put pressure on my wheelchair in a certain way, it's going to make a certain movement or jerk me in a certain position.
That's very interesting. Truly.
I also know when people are touching my chair.
Well, yeah. Well, yeah.
I mean intuitively, like,
you can feel the slight weight difference.
If you touch my chair and I can't see you, I can sense you. Because you're touching an extension of my body. And I don't mean I have some weird, creepy wheelchair sixth sense. I just mean that I am so used to those surroundings around my body space that if something is infiltrating that space, your invading my personal bubble, and I can tell even if I can't see you.
That makes sense. That makes sense. I don't know. I just feel like we shouldn't see wheelchairs or any other mobility aids as like this. I don't want to say death sentence, that's a little too dramatic, but like almost in the way that you would think people in the way that you hear people perceive them. Right. Like,
no, I really think that is how people perceive them.
Yeah.
Like their life is suddenly over.
And if you are someone that like became disabled, like I can't imagine that. I can only imagine the initial shock of that is the worst thing ever. And I'm sure as badly as I think it is, it's 10 times worse. Because your life is different in a second in a way that you didn't understand. Like, I can't imagine the pure raw emotion that must go through someone's head who's been through that. But for your average Joe or some like when is the average person going to use a wheelchair? When they're old? OK, no one wants to get old. No one wants to die. I get why it's scary. No one wants to become disabled. I get why it's scary, like I just said. What I don't understand, and maybe this requires too much thought from like some other person, so that's why this doesn't happen. When you see a relatively young person, such as yourself, using a wheelchair, it's different. Maybe it's because I grew up around disabled people, so I have this sort of ingrained in me. But there's a difference when I see people in wheelchairs like out between somebody who is like our age. I assume that if you're in a wheelchair and you're young, that you're probably more likely born with whatever it is you have. So that means to me that you know what you're doing.
Or, I mean, you could have had some kind of accident, but again,
you've had it for so long at that point, no matter what it is, whether you're born with it or had your accident or whatever at a young age, that you know what you're doing if you're young. Is what I'm assuming. If you're older, I'm actually more likely to assume that you don't know what you're doing because you might have had a whole able-bodied life and this is new to you.
Do you mean in terms of like navigating with a wheelchair?
Yeah. Yeah. Not living. not living in general. No.
No, that's not what I meant. But yeah.
No. I do strictly mean using whatever mobility. Let's call them wheelchairs for now. It's easier.
It does extend to all mobility equipment, though. Yeah, that's another thing, too. You make a really good point. I mean, wheelchairs also are associated with getting old or having some kind of malady. It's always so interesting when people ask, like, what happened to you or what's wrong with you? Or they're like, I'm so sorry you're in a wheelchair. Like, I'm so sorry you're standing on your legs.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that sounds like a sassy comeback, but it's really like the exact same thing.
It's the equivalent.
Yeah.
Why are you sorry? Like, you know when you should be sorry?
That's what I say to everyone who says they're sorry to me. I ask them why, and like their reaction's always like, oh, wait, yeah, I don't know. I don't know.
If I didn't have a wheelchair, you should be sorry. You should be sorry for all the people who are fighting battles to get their wheelchairs. You should be sorry for the people who end up stuck in bed because of insurance struggles to get the coverage for durable medical equipment. But don't be sorry for me.
Yeah, that's a huge difference. I just thought of something, if I may. Slightly off topic. Completely off topic. The only thing is similar is a mobility aid. I went through several. When I was a kid, I used a walker, and then I used crutches, and then I used one crutch, and then I used none. I went through several.
One crutch, two crutch, red crutch, blue crutch?
Pretty much. And the walker was actually red, funnily enough. But I learned that none is best for me in the way that I move. That might be true for you. It also might not. So, you know, I'm willing to accept that there is a stigma around wheelchairs in particular, but if you're somebody in search for your perfect mobility aid, I wouldn't let that stigma like prevent you from moving to the best of your ability. Like I don't want to say sad, but if you're somebody who doesn't want to use a wheelchair.
No, I know exactly what you mean. Yeah. Almost like for vanity or for like you're worried about admitting defeat.
Yeah, and I understand that that's probably a very big personal struggle. Like, I feel like every disabled person has to do that at some point. I know I did, but it wasn't so much defeat as me going like, yeah, this is my life. Like, and I if you're somebody that, you know, doesn't want to use a wheelchair or is afraid to, like, sure, but don't let that stop you from, like, using what could be or could not be your best way of movement, like,
that
for vanity's sake.
That is so true. That's such good advice. And I definitely had a moment of hesitation getting a power wheelchair, because I do still use a manual chair pretty frequently, all the time in the house. And I used to use a manual chair a lot when I was younger, navigating around middle school, high school, things like that. But as things got bigger, essentially my world got bigger. You know, high school was a bigger building than middle school, and my college campus was bigger than my high school building. A power wheelchair essentially became a way to preserve my arms and my shoulder joints. But I had a moment of feeling like, am I admitting bodily defeat or becoming lazy or something like that? And when I first got my power chair, I was in high school, and I remember very clearly the first couple of weeks that I brought my chair to school. I switched back and forth between my manual chair and my power chair. People were very quick to, like, make comments about it. Mostly it was like, oh my God, that's so cool. But it was also a lot of, like, you know, oh, why do you need that? Why are you switching to that? And I was so compelled to constantly explain it away. Like, oh, it doesn't mean anything different. You know, my disability is not progressing. It just means that I got this power chair.
I was so quick. If you're gonna explain anything, I think that that's a very, if you're gonna make one point though to someone that you care about, like your friends, I would say that that's a pretty good one because they don't know.
Sure, but it was everyone.
I understand your nosing your way into my business. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And wanting to know, was something more, quote unquote, wrong with me? Mostly it was just like, whoa, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Which, I mean, I still get that all the time. I end up, anytime I use any of the features on my power chair, like the elevation or the tilt, which is only a matter of access for me. And making my life easier. Like, when I raise my chair up or when I lean back.
No, I know
back.
What you're talking about, but I mean, what else would it be?
Oh, other people think it's just like, oh, you got your wheelchair tricked out. Oh, that's so cool. Oh, my God. It's like, pimp my ride for wheelchairs. Whoa.
That's stupid.
So I've kind of taken to being like, oh, look, here's my party trick. I can raise myself up to your eye level.
I mean, sure, if you...
I still explain away my mobility equipment, despite the fact that I am inextricably linked to my mobility equipment.
You know what? It's a conversation piece, I guess. I don't know. That's dumb, but at least you know. At least you're funny about it, I guess. I don't know.
Well, that's the thing. Like,
you have to be, right?
No, I really do. Like, it's a very rehearsed, performative thing. Like, when I first got to my college orientation, we were all and standing in a circle, and I was like, hi, I'm Emily, and let's just address the elephant in the room. I'm sitting on it, like, you know, ha ha, ha 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 ha.
That has to be exhausting.
It's all the time, all the time.
You know what the best thing about walking is? I never have to do that. I didn't know that up until now. I didn't know there was such a thing as the best thing about walking, but my God, you just helped me find it. Oh my God, that's awful. I can't wait to do that to you every time I see you from now on.
It's really, I feel obligated to make other people comfortable with my disability. And the thing is that I'm not uncomfortable, but I am uncomfortable by other, I am made uncomfortable by other people's discomfort.
Can I ask you something?
Sure.
As a matter of pure curiosity, I know that in a perfect world, you shouldn't have to do that. I understand that. But I imagine that it's easier for everyone if everyone's comfortable. And of course, it's not your responsibility to make them comfortable. But as a person with a disability, you probably went through some sort of self-acceptance phase, and it probably hit you really hard one day, if I'm imagining correctly, as is the case with most of us. So when someone else is uncomfortable around you, for whatever reason they might have because of your disability, Do you sort of sympathize with that in a way, because there was a point in your life where you had to learn to accept yourself? Because I imagine the answer, I mean, you can correct me if I'm wrong, but I imagine the answer is yes, and that's why you might not mind too much when you, you know, calm the other person down by making a dumb wheelchair joke.
So are you essentially asking me if it bothers me or if I mind it?
No, I imagine it bothers you a little bit, but what I'm asking really is, not do you mind, but when you do it, I imagine you don't do it to shut people up. Does it bother you? Does it bother you that people are uncomfortable around your wheelchair, not knowing anything else about you, knowing that you probably, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I don't want to be wrong, because if I am, it defeats the entire point of what I'm trying to say, had to do the same thing to yourself at some point in your life, become comfortable with yourself. Knowing that you went through that, does it bother you that when other people do it to you?
Huh, that's deep. You know, it bothers me in so far is that I have to do it constantly for other people. It's an obligation. It's like part of my job to help people not be so on edge about.
Oh, it's not your job to do it. No, I'm sorry. Keep going.
No, but that's the thing. Like, it kind of, it's my personal responsibility. I mean, I can leave people floundering and uncomfortable, but what would that accomplish?
If anything, I mean, if you're seriously asking me, if it's not a rhetorical question, I think that would make it worse.
Right.
I think if you could change one person's view of disability just by meeting them, I think that that's doing something.
If I want people to interact with me, quote unquote, normally, then I have to do something to normalize the situation.
Okay.
And no, that's fair. So it frustrates me, but I don't wholly object to it. But the other thing is your question, while it's something to think about, doesn't totally compute in my head, because for me, you know, I never looked in the mirror and had a conversation with myself like, well, hi, Emily, I'm Emily, and check out that big old wheelchair you're sitting on, you know, like.
No, I understand that.
You know, so, yeah. I mean, I go through this constant cycle of working on self-acceptance. But when you meet someone, you have about 5 seconds to get past that initial stage of, do I accept this person or not? And it's up to me to immediately make sure that that happens. Or if it's not a context where I need to make a wheelchair joke, it ends up being a context where I immediately have to speak up and sort of prove that my presence is about more than just the wheelchair. Like, you know, I have to prove that I am there to engage and communicate in a certain context and not that I am just a person who's plopped on a big decorative.
You're not the token disabled person.
I guess. But sometimes the jokes that I make are to cover up my own embarrassment with myself. Like, because my chair is so big, as aware of my surroundings as I am, sometimes the surroundings are just not meant for me and I'll hit something. I've like pulled entire racks of clothing. I've pulled desks in college classrooms. I've knocked a bunch of stuff over. And so now my customary joke is, oh, I was just rearranging the furniture. And that's everyone's cute. Like, ha 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 ha. You know, but really.
Yeah, you're embarrassed and they have to deal with it now. And it's just a bad situation all around. Yeah, no, that's a perfectly good. I didn't really expect you to go that deep into it. I actually really appreciate it because I did not know. Yeah, so. Walking, am I right?
Wheelchairs, am I right?
Yeah. No, but I mean, really, like, it's just how we get around, man. Not much more to it.
Yeah, I think it's good to talk about how you do things, though, and to acknowledge the complexities of it while at the same time also realizing, and this is my takeaway.
Okay, we're doing, yeah.
Yeah, this is my takeaway. So, acknowledge the complexities of different modes of mobility,
mm-hmm.
and know that there is no one right or wrong way to be mobile. But at the same time, also, don't take it so seriously.
That's a very good point. That's a very good point. I'm glad you said it, because we don't.
Insofar as we had a long conversation about it, I guess we do, but this is not going to keep me up. Well, I know,
but this has a purpose. Everyday life, like, we don't, and you don't care about your wheelchair like that, do you?
No, not at all.
I bet you barely even notice it in that sense.
You don't think about it just the same way you don't really think about getting up and walking around. Yeah, when okay. I do exactly think about it is when something is inaccessible to me. But in surroundings in which nothing is off limits to me in regards to structural accessibility, I don't think about it at all.
Right.
So why are you thinking about it? Stop thinking about it.
It's a very good question. If we just don't think about it, it'll go away. Disability in a nutshell, am I right? No, 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 for the love of God.
Oh, goodness. What's your takeaway?
Walking is weird, man. You ever think about what it really is? No, just get around the way that feels most comfortable to you, and don't let anyone tell you that one way is better than the other.
Yup.
And if that's walking, then it's walking. And if it's not, it's not.
I was going to say we either put one limb in front of the other or we put one wheel in front of the other, but the wheels move in tandem, so that didn't really work the way I intended.
That's okay.
But that's okay. Anyway, I'm Emily.
I don't know why we can never end an episode. Why is that? I mean, I'm Kyle. Yeah, that's... but why? We always, like... We end so strong, and then we say goodbye, and then this happens. I don't get it.
Because anyway, we don't take ourselves too seriously.
That's a good point. I don't even know what I'm doing. Okay,
good. Okay, wait. Let's try this again. I'm Emily.
I'm Kyle, I think.
I hope. I hope that's who I'm talking to.
Wouldn't it be weird if I was someone else?
Oh, gosh. Woo, okay, this is getting too deep. Thanks for listening.